Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is devil destruction power. With my Bible, I can defeat the devil every single day. This is my Bible. My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it. Whatever it says I have, I claim it in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Father God, help us to impart your word not only into ourselves and others, especially concerning today's subject, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I hope that you will get a grasp of why we are teaching certain things here in this church, because I cannot have Victoria's word ignorant, praise God.
Amen.
Especially as more people come and as we grow, people have to know what this church stands for. And they have to know it through you. And you have to be able to back up what you know biblically, praise God. Because when you leave here and you invite somebody to church and they ask you, where do you go? And you say, Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. And then they ask you, what are your views on racism? And you say, I hate all white folks. Then that reflects on the church, praise God. If somebody say, well, what do you think about abortion? And you say, well, it's not, I don't know, I don't care. Ain't nothing to me. What you do is your business. Then that reflects on Victoria's Word, praise God. Because at Victoria's Word, your pastor does care about what is done, because every baby, every innocent child that is killed is blood on this land, on the land of America, praise God.
Amen.
And it's defiling the land. And not only that, but it affects the mother, hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only that, and I can tell you from personal experience, it affects the father, praise God.
Amen.
I've not been an innocent person all my life. And I've done some things that I can tell you are horrible. And one of them is murder. And abortion is murder. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to talk about that today. That abortion is murder. But we're going to look at this in the light of the warfare, of the ongoing warfare between God and Satan. Amen.
Amen.
We are not going to look at this through social sciences, through the way the media or the secular world thinks about it. We're going to look at this from the Bible and from how God views it. Now, the first thing we need to see is that God sees the baby that's in the woman's womb. He sees that as a real person, and His word says so. And see, Satan hates anything that is created in the image of God, and he desires to destroy it. And he has been quite successful at his job, at his task of destroying human beings. He's done the easiest thing, which is to kill the child before it ever is comes out of the womb. He has killed every potential doctor, every potential lawyer, every potential godly politician. He has killed all the potential by having them aborted from the womb. He's killed every potential pastor, every potential missionary, every potential evangelist. He has killed them before they ever came out of the womb. So it's a serious thing, this warfare that's going on between God and Satan. And Satan is trying to destroy man and destroy God's heritage by killing and murdering. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on this. In Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4, so we can get through this quickly. If you can turn to your Bible. If you have your Bibles, I really encourage you to look at your Bibles. But if not, we do have it up on the board. But in Psalm 127, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." Say the children.
Children.
Our heritage.
Our heritage.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
That means they're a blessing, not a curse. Praise God.
Amen.
Children are a blessing. As a matter of fact, back in the old days, the more you had, the more blessed you were. Nowadays, we're trying to do everything to stop having too many children. We're trying to do population control and all kinds of other foolishness. God said, be fruitful and multiply. Hallelujah. But children are not a curse. They are an heritage of the Lord. And look at this. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Glory to God.
Amen.
The fruit of the womb, that thing that's inside the woman, that some people call the fetus, that some of the Planned Parenthood people say is nothing but tissue, which is a lie of the devil, is actually a reward from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. So God considers the thing in the womb an heritage and a reward. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, when we go to Luke chapter 1, we see exactly what God thinks of the person that's in the womb. And he gives us insight and revelation into the fact that within that womb is an actual living person by showing us how John the Baptist reacted to Jesus when Mary came to visit his mother Elizabeth while he was still in the womb. In Luke 1, 39 through 44, it says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Jude." Now, this was after the angel had already announced to Mary that she would conceive of a child and his name and that the child the Holy Spirit would visit her, and that he would place Jesus basically in her womb. And so then she went to go visit with her cousin Elizabeth. And it says, verse 40 says, "And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Praise God.
Amen.
Notice that the babe, John the Baptist, leaped. He jumped for joy in her womb. Glory to God.
Amen.
So that means that there was a real person in the womb of Elizabeth. A real person resided in that womb, because a real person doesn't leap. A non-person does not leap. A piece of tissue does not jump for joy. A piece of tissue does not react with emotion. A mere fetus does not have feelings. But I'm going to tell you right now, that thing that's in the woman's womb has real feelings, has real emotions, and when you kill it, that's murder. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's read on. In verse 42 it says, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Praise God.
Amen.
So again, we read that the fruit that's in the womb is blessed, and we read that the baby in the womb reacted emotionally to the news about Jesus coming inside of Mary's womb. Praise God.
Amen.
So that means that within the womb resides a real, living human being, and that human being has emotions. That human being does things in reaction to what other people do. Praise God. I don't know about you, but when my wife was pregnant with our children, I used to feel the babies kicking. Especially my son. Now that boy, he used to kick a lot. But I knew that inside this woman's stomach was a real living person, praise God.
Amen.
And it has part of my own DNA. So experience tells me that the person in the womb is really a person, is really a real child. And so for people to get pregnant and then casually go somewhere and have the baby killed is ungodly. And it makes that person a murderer. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking about the woman either. I'm talking about the man who lets it happen. The man who signs the paper is just as much as a murderer as the woman. Or the man who sits there and says, well, you know, I don't care what you do. It's your business, whatever you do. He's a murderer too. Amen.
Amen.
Abortion is murder. It's a serious thing. Now, again, let's look at God's perspective on this. Now, the Bible, this book, the Bible is God's word. Praise God. It's his infallible word. And it is clear, as we've just stated, that the woman is carrying a real human being. I don't care what science says. Whenever science contradicts the Bible, who do you go with? If science contradicts the Bible, who do you go with? Man, are y'all confused?
The Bible.
Which one do y'all go with, the science or the Bible?
The Bible.
All right, good, good, good. I don't want you to be confused about that, because especially when some of you are going to school, going to college, you're going to hear people tell you that you were evolved from a monkey, or you were evolved from an ape. And see, that's the other thing. This lie of evolution is also part of the reason why people don't care about getting abortions, because they don't see that the thing in their womb has a real spirit and a real soul and is created in God's image. So they're quick to kill the thing because they think the evolution process is taking place. Science, much so-called science, is nothing but a lie of the devil. But it has influenced our nation. And that's why our nation is quick to kill. Don't think it's going to stop with the babies. Pretty soon they're going to think it's okay to kill elderly people and retarded people. People that are no longer useful to society, they're going to start killing them too. Praise God.
Amen.
That bothers me a lot because I'm starting to get old. I mean, when I say get old, I don't mean I'm getting decrepit old, because I'm full of energy and full of life. I'm very strong. But I'm saying is that I'm aging. Hallelujah. The aging process won't stop until I get to heaven, until I get my new body. But right now I'm aging. And so and I've already got my AAA card. So, the thing is that the murder won't stop with just the babies. It's going to also extend, mark my words. It's just like the homosexual thing. Already now, that they're starting to win their cases for homosexual marriage. Now they're trying to win cases for polygamy. And now you got people trying to marry their dogs. I'm serious. This is not even a joke. I am serious. So now they're trying to promote bestiality. That I can be officially married to my cat or my dog and I can have sex with it. I've been reading this stuff. It's crazy. It's getting nuts. So that's why we're having to address this stuff. As Christians, we got to stand against it, praise God. Amen. We've got to stand against it, but we can't stand against it unless we have knowledge about it. So it doesn't matter, like I said, what the scientists or the medical professionals say to you. You got to go with this first. The experts may sound very knowledgeable, and they may use big words, but you stay in this book because this is what's going to run your life and not what the experts say. Amen. So when the experts contradict the Bible, you must go with the Bible and skip what the experts say. Because God, who is your father, is very much pained over what's going on in this world. And he's very much pained at the way children are being killed. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31. I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures from Jeremiah. So stay in the book of Jeremiah for a little bit. Jeremiah is just before the book of Lamentations. We were reading that earlier in our prayer session time, the book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah, as I was saying earlier in the during our prayer time, the prophetic books, which a lot of people don't like to read, but I love them. I love the prophetic books because they really show that our God is emotional and he's real. And he actually has real emotions. Our God actually suffers because of us. Do you realize that? If people think that God is just sitting on the throne, well, you know, he's loving, you know, because the Bible says so, but, you know, nothing really bothers him. He don't really, really, really care. Think again. Read through the prophetic books, and you will find a God who really and truly cares. Praise God. Amen. You will find a God that what we do actually does affect him. What we do actually hurts him. What we do actually pains him and causes him grief. Do you know the Bible we're talking about the Holy Spirit, tells us not to grieve the Spirit and not to quench him? The Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be pained. Jesus can be grieved. The Father can be grieved. And Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, where he talks to Jeremiah and talks about the sin that Israel has involved themselves in. They got into false Baal worship, false Molech worship, and they began to offer children sacrifices. And that's exactly what abortion is. Abortion is demonic sacrifice, sacrificing our young for our pleasures, sacrificing our young for our personal conveniences, sacrificing the fruit of our womb, the fruit that God has blessed us in our womb, for our own selfish desires. Well, you know, I can't be having children right now because I got to finish up school. Well, you should have thought about that before you jumped in the bed with that guy. Yeah. Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. Whether you like it or not, it's true. Before you go killing the child, you got to think about what you're doing. Think about the consequences of your acts. But in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, it says, "And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. And look at this, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart." See, a lot of people like to say, well, you know, we know that things are going wrong, but God is in control. God's not controlling everything. He certainly is not controlling the abortion industry. God is asking us to pray that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has nothing to do with the killing of unborn children, praise God. He has nothing to do with it. He's not controlling it. It ain't happening by his standards. I remember some years ago, young lady that was coming to this church, she's no longer here, so y'all, you wouldn't even know who she is anyway, because you probably won't remember the incident. But a young lady who was pregnant, and you know, and her it was fragile, her pregnancy was fragile, and the doctor told her, you can't do anything, you need to sit down and just wait until time, because if you do anything, you're gonna kill the baby. Well, you know, she's real young, so she thought it would be okay, so she went and started cleaning up the house and doing dishes and stuff like that, and the baby died. So we went over to comfort her and everything, me and a group of other people, and one of the people said, well, you know, God knew what he was doing. He's in control. Another person said, well, God just needed another little flower in heaven. I sat there while and heard all that. And, you know, me being a nice guy, I just spoke up and said, that ain't true. God did not want that baby to die. Now, you know, I didn't want to make the lady feel bad, so I tried to say these things in ways that would comfort her and let her know that it wasn't God that killed your child or anything like that. But God didn't kill the fruit in that womb, praise God.
Amen.
The doctor specifically gave her instructions. She disobeyed the instructions. The baby died. God didn't have anything to do with that. God didn't have anything to do with that. And God does not have anything with women walking into abortion clinics. Amen.
Amen.
If anything, God has ministers. People standing out there, the people that y'all think are crazy, holding up those signs, telling people not to go in there. Some people think they're crazy, but I'm going to tell you, they have saved more lives by going out there and standing in front of those abortion clinics, risking themselves, getting themselves arrested for the unborn than any of us have ever done. Praise God.
Amen.
I know of a person, I know a person who personally was about to do that. And she told me about it. She said she was about to go into the abortion clinic. And she said, Pastor, some women were standing outside and they stopped me and they talked to me and I realized that what I was about to do was wrong. And she had been coming to this church for years. Hmm. And then, see, that's why I'm having to teach y'all. Because somebody who was under my ministry and still was about to do something like that, it lets me know that maybe I'm not doing enough to bring this teaching out and help you to understand how wrong this is. But God didn't have anything to do with this young lady about to walk into an abortion clinic. You know what he had to, what he was involved in was the people that stopped her from going in, praise God.
Amen.
That's what he was involved in. God does not want people doing these things. He does not command them. He does not control them. They don't even enter into his mind. God does not sit there and dwell on evil. Let's look at another passage of a similar kind. But in Jeremiah chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, you will see the results of this kind of sacrificing of our children, born and unborn. It says, in Jeremiah 19 verses 4 through 6, we'll get to 32 in a moment. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burnt incense into it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah. And they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. That's exactly what abortion is doing right now. It is filling this land with the blood of innocent children who've done nothing wrong. Verse 5, they have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it. It neither came into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. That's what America's becoming right now, a valley, a nation of slaughter of the innocents. I mean, back in those days, and during the days of Baal worship, they had an iron statue of Baal, and they had fire burning under that iron. They would take a live baby, and they would put it in the arm, the iron arms, burning iron arms of that Baal statue, and they would cook that baby to death while it's burning alive. That is torture for that baby. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. When a woman is getting an abortion, if you ever seen a video of an x-ray of an abortion that's happened, it's horrible. I've seen it. The baby is fighting against the tools that the doctor's sticking in there to kill the child. The baby is actually feeling pain, and you'll see that the baby is trying to scream. The baby in that womb is trying to scream in pain at what the doctor is doing to it. It's a horrible thing. I'm sorry I'm being graphic, but y'all got to get the picture. This is serious. What's happening in our nation is serious, and we as Christians got to stand up. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do, how you need to do this in a minute. Before I get into that. Let's look at another one. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 35-36. You're going to understand why I'm so serious and so passionate about this in a moment. But the thing is that a lot of Christians, and I'm sorry to say, but a lot of black Christians do not seem to be taking this thing seriously. They think of it, well, you know, I've talked with them. Well, you know, Brother Troy, I disagree with abortion, but it's just a disagreement between me and the other person. I don't let that affect how I vote. I don't let that affect who I support. It pains me when I talk to pastors who tell me things like that. Let alone other Christians, but pastors who think that it's just a minor thing that is not that vitally important. But Jeremiah 32, 35, and 36. I know this is not one of Pastor Troy's usual fired up messages, but I just want y'all to understand why we need to be passionate about this kind of thing. It says in verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination. God calls this thing an abomination. To cause Judah to sin. God calls the killing of children sin. Verse 36, and now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword, and by famine, and by the pestilence. Judgment is coming upon our nation. Judgment is coming upon our nation. God is going to, we continue in the direction we're going. Especially the church, not so much the secular world, but the church continues to ignore this. Sooner or later, God has no other choice but to take his hand of protection from this nation, and our enemies will destroy this country. Praise God. Amen. Right now, United States still remains to be the most greatest and powerful nation in the world. But little by little, we are getting weaker. It is sin that is weakening this nation, and it's the sin of killing unborn innocent children. Amen. Now, let's look at the spirit that's behind the murder, which y'all already know who it is. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees who were trying to kill him, says this. He says, ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you notice that murder and lying goes together? The abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, all these people have lied to us. The government has lied to us. The people supporting Roe v. Wade has lied to us. They have lied to us in order to continue to murder our innocent children. A lot of these abortion, so-called abortion doctors, I put that in quotes, doctors, only care about the money. Many of them do not realize the spirit that is behind them, motivating them to do what they're doing. They do not realize that it is the evil spirit of Satan and his government of death that is causing them to do this. It is a basic selfishness and egotism in these people, because they are only concerned about money. And the spirit of murder, the ultimate murderer himself, Satan, is in support of all this. And so the lies and the murder continue to go together. The stuff that you read on television, the stuff that you see on television, the stuff that you read in the books and the magazines, the stuff that you see on the internet, you've got to be careful. You've got to compare everything with the word of truth. Praise God. Amen. Now, we're going to see that hatred is behind that. It's not a spirit of love. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of death, destruction, and hatred. God's kingdom is a kingdom of light, love, and life. But Satan's kingdom, death, deception, destruction, and hatred. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We looked at this the past couple of weeks, but you need to see it again. It says, and we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth his brother abideth in, that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Praise God. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You can't support abortion and claim to be going to heaven. A lot of people tell me that, speaking about certain people who claim to be Christians, but strongly support abortion, strongly supporting Planned Parenthood. We had one politician who got up there speaking for Planned Parenthood and says, and ends his speech at Planned Parenthood by saying, I'm with you all the way, Planned Parenthood. God bless you. You can't bless an abortion clinic. You can't bless a murder mill. But people think that it's just a fundamental doctrinal disagreement between two Christians. It is more than that. I will not support or fellowship with a church that supports gay marriage, nor will I fellowship with a church that thinks that abortion is okay. I will minister to them, I will witness to them, and I will try to get the truth across to them, but you will not catch me inviting them over here to preach at this church. Praise God. Amen. Now, they invite me to preach in their church, I will, but they better be ready for a hard message. Amen. Amen. And when I do go to their church, I'm going to make sure that I have an exit door so I can run as fast as I can when the stones start coming. Praise God. Amen. But abortion is based on hatred for human beings and a love for money. So every abortion doctor is a tool of Satan and is a propagator of his agenda to destroy that life that has been created in God's image. Every abortion doctor is a tool of Satan. But not only the abortion doctor, but the person doing the abortion and the person who allows the abortion to happen, i.e. the father. I was once a tool of Satan, I'm ashamed to say.
but I'm a tool of God. I don't live in condemnation over anything I've done in the past. Amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you this. The reason why I tell you these things is so that you know that when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching it out of passion because I'm not innocent of a lot of these things. Just like you, I've done some things I'm ashamed of. But I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus now. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. But I'm not innocent of these things. But now that I know better, now that I know the Word of God, I preach it with passion. It's just like some of you Liberians, y'all know this guy, General, they called him General Butt Naked or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who used to walk around naked killing people. But then he became a Christian. He got born again. And one of the things he said, I don't remember, I heard him say it himself, or somebody told me he said, I'm sorry for all those people I killed, but I can't bring them back. But, you know what? Even General Butt Naked, I consider him my brother in Christ, praise God. The reason why? Because even though he killed, that was the old him. The new him is now a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's no longer that he is no longer that tool of Satan anymore. He is now a child of the Most High God. So if you have if you are guilty of an abortion, don't feel condemned. Amen. If you have done it in the past, if you have asked God to forgive you, then you move on with your life. Glory to God. Amen. But what I'm teaching you today is not for you to feel guilty unless you have been supporting it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you've been supporting it or you've been closing the blind eye to it or voting for politicians that you know support it, but you said, well, it's just a fundamental disagreement, then you need to feel guilty and then turn it over to God. Ask God to forgive you and then stop feeling guilty about it. Amen.
Amen.
At least you need to feel convicted about it so that you can stop doing it in the future and start supporting things that will help us to prevent this from continuing to go on. Anyway, we need to fear God and not satanic politicians, praise God. Now, abortion, whether you know it or not, is based quite often on racism. Let's look at a scripture, then I'm going to read something to you. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, it says, talking about when the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt. We looked at this scripture a couple of weeks ago. But when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, the Egyptians were so afraid of the Israelites that the king, the Pharaoh, wanted them to be aborted. So he says, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Oh, but I like verse 17. But the midwives feared God. Say they feared God. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. Praise God. Amen. When you read the rest of that passage, it talks about how God prospered them materially, gave them houses and stuff like that. So you need to fear God and not these politicians, not these government officials who tell you that it's okay to kill. It's okay to abort. It's okay to murder the fruit of the womb. It's okay to murder that which God has rewarded the woman. Amen.
Amen.
We got to be careful. But most of all, you can see that this king was a racist. He hated the Jewish people, and so he wanted to kill the boys. Oh, he wanted to keep the girls. You know, there's some use for them. But he wanted to kill the boys. Do you know that Planned Parenthood, one of the most successful and widespread abortion businesses in the United States that is actually tax funded, started out as an organization that was meant to exterminate the black race? Anybody know about that? Did y'all know that? Well, good, you're going to know it now. Margaret Sanger, She is the founder of Planned Parenthood, and she wrote this. Now, this is only one quote. I can give you dozens more, but we don't have time. But listen to what Margaret Sanger said. She said, we should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, talking about black ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. They have to be charismatic. The most successful education approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. Listen to this. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Written in her book, Women, Morality, and Birth Control. Her intentions, the intentions of Planned Parenthood, and the reason why you got so many Planned Parenthood clinics planted in black neighborhoods was so that they could exterminate us. And yet, many black women continue to go to these clinics. A black president has said that he supports Planned Parenthood and is their Planned Parenthood president. And black people continue to vote for the party and for people within those parties who support this kind of garbage. And black preachers get up in their pulpits and preach and support politicians who support this stuff. Is that crazy or what? And then they will come accuse me of hating because I speak out against it. They accuse me of hating your pastor. Some of them don't even want fellowship with me. I have been dissed on Facebook because of this. I've been told, called off of some vile things because of my stand on this issue. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not about to back down yet. As a matter of fact, the more the devil uses people to attack me, the stronger I get. Glory to God.
Amen.
And the more I stand against it. And this is one of the reasons why I decided I need to preach this or teach this, because I said, you know, people just don't seem to understand. And as your pastor, if I don't explain this stuff to you, then it's my fault. Praise God.
Amen.
But at least, if nothing else, you should know where your own pastor stands on this. Let's talk very briefly. We have a little bit of time left. Talk briefly about Satan's agenda, or how we can defeat his abortion agenda. The first thing, stop supporting and voting for politicians who support the satanic atrocity. Amen? Stop supporting people just because they're black, or they're Democrat, or they're Republican, or whatever. Stop supporting people just because of that. If you know that they support abortion, you know they support murder, then don't vote for them, praise God.
Amen.
And begin to vote for politicians, whether they're white, black, whether your people are calling them Uncle Toms or whatever. Begin to support people who are trying to stop this thing, who are trying to overturn that Roe v. Wade. Support ministries that are standing up for the unborn. Stop laughing at them. Stop calling them weird. And I heard pastors do it. They shouldn't even be out there. What are you doing? Oh, it just angers me. I'm sorry. Sometimes I got to preach with a little passion, a little anger, y'all. You want me to dance for y'all so y'all don't get too... All right. But listen, it angers me because men of God are saying these things when they're supposed to be speaking out against them. And let me tell y'all something, young ladies, please listen to me, because I love you. There's some young ladies that should be here and listening to this right now, but I guess it's Memorial Day, so they must be out somewhere doing something they ain't supposed to be doing. But anyway, young ladies, you consider yourselves valuable. Amen.
Amen.
Value yourself. yourself. Value your bodies. Value, you, think of yourself highly. Now, the Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but it doesn't tell you not to think of yourself highly. You are a precious woman of God. You are beautiful. No, any man who wants you better put a ring on your finger and say, I do, before he does anything else. Praise God.
Amen.
Any better, and make sure he has a J-O-B. Praise God. Stop sleeping around and letting these guys impregnate you. Make it. Let me tell you something, ladies. These men, all they're looking for is a toilet to relieve themselves. That's how graphic I'm going to be about this, so that you can get it. They're looking to relieve themselves. That's all. I was one of them. I know it. Stop letting women do. Stop letting these men do these things to you. And young men, keep it zipped until you're married. Praise God. Keep this zipper zipped. Keep them pants up. Except when you're using the bathroom or taking a shower. Keep it up.
Amen.
Amen. Leave those women alone unless you plan on marrying them. And don't do a thing to them until you're married. This will benefit you, young men. Praise God.
Amen.
I tell you, I wish I had waited. I wish I had waited. I regret everything I've ever done before I was a Christian. And I look back on my life. I'm going to tell you, it's better to wait. You won't have the struggles with lust and things of that nature. And the problems that you, the issues you have. See, we're going to have a marriage seminar soon, and I'm going to show you how to overcome a lot of the things I had to deal with after I got married. Having to fight with my body and with my mind to only love one woman and not to think about all the other women that I could have had or have had or that I still wanted. If you wait, I guarantee you. You talk to many of these guys who've been virgins and waited, it's better. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, God is a good God. Praise God. He is a forgiving God. He's a cleansing God. Even if you did do some things before you got married, I'm a living testimony that God can deliver you. But it took a long time. And it took a lot. It took me learning a lot of things before I learned to overcome sexual lust and things of that nature. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, last thing. This is the very last thing. If you have ever had an abortion, if you've ever done any of these things that we talked about, you as Christians, just simply ask God to forgive you. Praise God. If you haven't done so already, it says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Though, in other words, if you've had an abortion but you don't think it's a sin, then you're deceiving yourself. The truth isn't in you. But if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise God.
Amen.
If you've done anything, even murder, as horrendous as that is, God will cleanse you. Praise God.
Amen.
If you just offer yourself to Him, that is a loving God, I'm telling you. What a loving God that He would go that far for us, that He would cleanse us from our sins, even though we've done something as horrible as that. Isn't He loving? Isn't He kind? You can't get any better than this. I'm telling you, Muhammad is not. Allah is not. Is nowhere near that kind. Buddha is not that kind. Because Buddha will tell you, well, you're going to have to suffer in the next life with karma or whatever have you. No God but Yahweh would send His own Son to cleanse you from something you did to yourself. Isn't He something else? Man, my God is something else. I'm telling you. So, if you need me to pray with you, if you're convicted by this message and you need me to pray with you, we're going to close out the service and you come to me. We'll talk privately. Or something like this, maybe you should wait and call me later and say, Pastor, I need you to come pray with me. Amen?
Amen.
Because I guarantee I will not divulge your business to anybody.
Yeah.
And I would not, and you won't get any condemnation from me, because how could I condemn you when I'm guilty of many of these things? Praise God. Amen. No, well, I'm not guilty anymore because God has cleansed me. I'm a new creation. But what I'm saying is that I've been there. Amen. Amen. But I'm free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm free now to stand up for my God and tell people what a liar Satan is. Because Satan is trying to destroy the kingdom of God. He's trying to destroy God, the creatures God loves. But we can stand against that. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And finally, for those of you who are watching, we're Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. We're at 11 George Street, second floor, Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Our service is at 11:30. Give us a call and visit us on the web. The web address is right on the screen. God bless you. And the church said...
Amen.
And the church said again,
amen.
Stand to your feet, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.